Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is indeed the broadcast for April the 23rd in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty. The supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. And as you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest. Did I say the greatest? That's right. The greatest country on the face of the earth. It is a freedom-loving, fantastic, faith-filled. We're taking America back one heart, one mind, one issue at a time for right day. And boy, howdy, do we have news the networks refuse to use for you. Quick recap of yesterday's show is in order. It starts now. We had our guest on, Mr. Brian Rust, rustcoinandgift.com. Over the last 50 years, the Rust family has been working to educate folks about precious metals. If you want an honest partner in the coin business, Brian Rust, rustcoinandgift.com. Kirk Cosby was with me as well for the first hour. That's kind of cool. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Honest Money Report, gold, $1,787.80. Silver, $2,654. But even though silver is $2,654 on spot price for an ounce, to get a 2021 Silver Eagle silver dollar, it costs $39 right now. I know your paper dollar says a dollar on it, but it takes 39 of them to buy a United States Treasury minted 2021 Silver Eagle silver dollar. 39 of them to one. Shocking. But true, Bitcoin, interestingly enough, what goes up will come down, drops 15%, they say, days after record high. Despite the decline, Bitcoin is valued at more than $1 trillion, they say. Wow. Following a nearly 700% surge in the last 12 months, I told you whatever goes up can come down. I don't believe in cryptocurrency. It's another fake money. It's fiat currency. What goes up will come down, ladies and gentlemen. The swings are belligerent. But there you have it, Bitcoin. No one even knows who created it. But yet, they say it's safe and effective and stable and good, and I don't trust it. Don't dip your toe in the crypto is what I like to say. I guess it's Ether, or Ethereum is what others call it. Ether is the second biggest digital coin by market value. It fell by 10%. Yeah, billionaire Mark Cuban loves Ethereum, though, and he reveals why he thinks Ethereum will blow Bitcoin out of the water as it reaches $2 trillion. So there you have that. There's also another Bitcoin, Dogecoin is what it's called. But I find it interesting. People say, what is Dogecoin? It's just another digital currency. That's all. But Dogecoin, it's kind of like doggy coin, it seems to me. They say how a joke became hotter than Bitcoin. Doggy coin, or I should say Dogecoin, is the hottest, quirkiest cryptocurrency on the market, says CNN. Some say it's Dogecoin. I don't even know how to say these things. D-O-G-E, right? Dogecoin, some are saying. I don't even know what that means. You know, all I can say is this. All these currencies are bogus, and so are their names. Nevertheless, they say it's nearly $50 billion for that currency. So you're talking about billions and trillions of dollars when you take the top Bitcoin's equivalents. And some would say they're not equivalents. Sam, technically they're different. Stop. Just stop. They're all fake money, okay? I don't care if you have a paper dollar, your Bitcoin, your Deutsche coin, your whatever the garbage they've got. It's all fake money, folks, but it's trillions of dollars. All right, then Kirk Cosby jumped into the idea of Trump becoming House Speaker in 2023. Or president is gaining traction. We'll keep an eye on that ball just for you. Mike Lindell's free speech platform, and it's called frankspeech.com, is doing well. Many are being critical of it because as it started, they had a couple of stumbles. But you know what? Every large new venture like that has a stumble here and there. Just ask Barack Obama and the healthcare crank up. If you don't believe me, it's still a meltdown. Nevertheless, they're attacking Mike Lindell, I believe, wrongfully so. And I commend him on his free speech platform. I think it's pretty cool news. FrankSpeech.com. Check it out. Second hour, we had on our buddy Pete Sepp, National Pact Taxpayers Union. He's the president of NTU, which is the voice of America's taxpayers mobilizing elected officials and citizens to advocate for tax relief. Great stuff, tax relief and reform. NTU's rates Congress. Yeah, NTU does a great job. They look at the voting record of every congressional member from a tax point of view, a spend point of view, the totality of their votes is kind of critical. Where does your member of Congress stack up? We talked about the top five and the bottom five in the House and the Senate. And if you want to learn more about your specific representative, go to NTU.org. Pete doing a great job breaking that down for us. Josh Hawley's legislation puts every consumer in the crosshairs of big government. Willie Yepes writes the piece for NTU on this one. And the interesting thing, in my opinion, about that is that Josh Hawley does a lot of good in the Senate, folks. But he wrote a bill that basically says, I want to break up big tech. And, you know, my problem is I don't like government being the decision maker and breaking up everybody and this and that. Why don't you stop the subsidies to big tech? Why don't you stop the favoritism shown to big tech, pulling the lever of government in the favor of big tech? Let's stop all that shenanigans. Let's have the government play the role of honoring contracts and creating a level playing field, then have the government get the heck out of the way. The only reason you got big tech in the first place is because government has literally funded it and engineered it behind the scenes, putting Pentagon in bed with universities and big tech, and the triad has created an unfair playing field with our tax dollars and or black op money via the Pentagon and the Department of Defense, etc. Be very careful. But anyway, I appreciate Josh Hawley and his attempt, but I think he's misguided in the carrying out of that, I hope, pure intent. Time will tell. We'll keep an eye on that ball for you as well. Final tidbit, yesterday was the 51st annual celebration of Earth Day. They say the global theme this year is Restore Our Earth Day. They call it Earth Day 2021. They say it will include activities involving a billion people on the planet in 192 countries, folks. They say the focus will be on natural processes, whatever that means, as well as emerging green technologies. Not sure what that means either. Technology by inherent nature is not green. They say innovative thinking will be applied. The goal is to restore the world's ecosystems. They also say it's the largest secular holiday. That's Earth Day. They say it's coordinated by the nonprofit Earth Day Network. I would say run from that as fast as you can go. By the way, it's interesting how they talk about green tech. As far as I can tell, if you really get honest with yourself, tech is not green. Ladies and gentlemen, tech is not green. How do you build any tech? Well, Sam, you go into the earth and you get all this metal and you get all these different things and you refine them and process them and manufacture them and spew greenhouse gases into the earth and you do all these things and then you get it and then you got a big old disposal problem with it and then you and they go on and on. And how is tech green? It isn't. By very nature. Oh, Sam, yes, it is. I got my awesome car that's electric, buddy. I just plug it in, and it runs around and emits no emissions, Sam. It's awesome. Lies. Don't lie to me now. I'm not Judge Judy. People, come on. You're lying to me now. To create that big, old, non-emitting vehicle that you're talking about, big or small as it may be, you're lying to yourself to get the metal, to get the plastic, to get the, ooh, do I dare say leather? If you have leather seats or cloth seats or the computers in it or the batteries in it or the all these things in it, take computer chips and take batteries and take all kinds of anti-green stuff, and you've spewed toxins to create it, you spewed toxins to dispose of it, you just pretend on the road that there's no emissions and you're lying to yourself, ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you one thing you got to understand about reality in the earth. You cannot rob Peter to pay Paul. That's a big old flat-out bogus lie. Can't do it. You cannot rob Peter to pay Paul. Got it? So when they tell you all this, it just isn't true. The only question is, where do you want the emissions to happen? in China or in the United States? Do you want the emissions to happen on the manufacturer and the disposal ends, but not in between, so it's not on your roads? Or do you want it to be, okay, where do you want it and what source do you want it to come from? Right? I mean, the steam engine is probably the least environmental hostile that you can get, right? But they want you to believe that this electricity is all, hey, all you got to do is use solar panels, Sam, and you're zero energy, baby. You, my friend, are a greenie. Lies, folks. Green men from Mars know better. Okay? This stuff isn't green. And to tell you it is a deception. Well, Sam, it creates less than the other way. Are you sure? Can you prove it? Can you break it down from beginning to end? And the discussion becomes very difficult indeed. But what they do then is if I bring this up, I get attacked relentlessly. So let's say we do agree and let's say we do prove that it's less emission emitting. What about the cost? Is it cost prohibitive to the point where, how do I make money? Oh, well, Sam, I work at a coal-fired power plant so I can buy my green SUV. That's what I do there. Somebody else is like, oh, no, Sam, I work building computers there. I build iPhones. Yeah, they're not green. So what I mean is even when you play games, the extra money that it takes, there's jobs that fuel the lack of green. Oh, but Sam, I can buy carbon credits and make my emissions zero. Lies again. You're robbing Peter to pay Paul, people. Don't fall for it. Our guest coming up in seconds. I am Sam Bushman. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
As you all know, Roe versus Wade has resulted in some of the most permissive abortion laws anywhere in the world. For example, in the United States, it's one of only seven countries to allow elective late-term abortions, along with China, North Korea, and others. Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the ninth month. It is wrong. It has to change. Americans are more and more pro-life. You see that all the time. In fact, only 12% of Americans support abortion on demand at any time. Under my administration, we will always defend the very first right in the Declaration of Independence, and that is the right to life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt. Continues, starts, always on your radio. 6 days a week, 2 hours a day, we tell the tale of liberty. On the Sabbath, ladies and gentlemen, we rest. How do you like that? Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. I'm Sam Bushman. And I'm telling you right now, we got a lot to cover in the news. Let's start out with Chris Carlson, our guest. Chris Carlson is a truth teller. I would consider him a citizen reporter, if you will. He discusses all things liberty. He writes articles, and we talk about them on the radio. He brings up controversial topics, to say the least, and he's hardcore. Chris, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Thank you, sir. So here's my intro, Sam. You ready for it?
All right, hold on. Before your intro, I got a little joke for you.
Okay, go for it.
All right, here we go. By the way, if you just start with your intro, then you won't get circumvented on your intro. That's the first joke. The second joke is CNN plans to have its own beauty contest. Did you hear?
No. I'm interested to
know
about it.
The winner will be crowned Miss Information.
Okay, good. Good. Hey, my
There's four runners up, my brother. There's four runners up to this as well. Misled.
Okay, I'm ready.
Misguide. And Misdirect. I guess there's Misrepresent, too. There's a few of them there. So there you have it, CNN.
Okay.
All right, we're ready for your intro, my friend.
So I will miss CNN. How about that?
And
I've been doing that for the last 30 years, Sam, so we're good there. Without God, we can never win, Sam. With God, we can never lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight. Lieutenant Carlson, reporting for duty, sir.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey.
Good stuff for sure. We got a lot to cover with Chris, because Chris is hardcore, folks. I want to just tell you that right now, man. He wants no quarter, don't you, Chris?
Correct. Lieutenant Carlson demands no quarter. Okay,
right,
I've got
you
a quiz
to get by
for
a window.
You really quick.
You need to get by a window, because you're breaking up, though, and then I'm ready for your quiz.
Oh, okay. My computer's not
by a window. Yeah, cell phones need windows. I hate to say it. In a modern America, when we can go to Mars, we can't give you connectivity, my friend. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
That's how it works in modern days.
I will be high-tech connected by next week. I promise.
You drive around in green energy vehicles, buddy, saving the planet. But you know what? It's really hard to keep you connected there. You just can't get that done in modern society. But don't worry. You're going 5G, bro. That's how they want you to
believe. Well, I've got a joke for you.
All right, I'm ready for the quiz.
Okay, but before, you just gave me a segue to another joke that I'll give you, Sam. So,
right.
Green energy is the wave of the future and always will be. That was a joke.
Yeah, there you go, buddy. I like it. And that's the point is that, you know what, it's never really arrived. Let me tell you why I bring this up that I do and why I kind of tell the green jokes and stuff like that. You think, well, what? Why are you doing that? It's a little out of place, Sam, when it comes to Chris Carlson. It's none of the topics that Chris wanted to talk about yet or anything else. But here's the deal. I don't know if you know, but Biden just pledged a 50% reduction in greenhouse gas pollution by 2030. He was at a big old summit event, and he just single-handedly said that's what we're doing. So I find that very scary and interesting. Scary because unless you change laws, you can't get that done, and he's not in the right branch of government to change or make law. So very interesting how he can just create an edict like a king at a global climate summit, brought a bunch of countries to the United States for the summit, and he made big old bold promises, folks, and it's going to affect you and I. And our lives big time. And I submit to you that just like the COVID vaccine discussions, it's a big old lie.
Well, World War III will solve that problem. Well, you know, we're going to be talking about war today, Sam. And, you know,
wait a minute. War is green.
War is green.
War's green.
That's a new one for me, Sam.
Yeah, war's green and war's peace. You know that, right?
Well, it creates a lot of compost, I'll tell you that.
Well, I'm not going to explain how so for you even ask that. It just shows how racist and evil you are. See, what they'll do is just attack the messenger, right?
Exactly. Exactly. You know you're over the target when you're getting a lot of flack, right? Okay, so who said this? Why forego the advantages of so peculiar a situation? Why quit our own to stand upon foreign ground? Why, by interweaving our destiny with that of any part of Europe, entangle our peace and prosperity in the toils of European ambition, rivalship, interest, humor, or caprice? Go.
I have no idea who said that, but I would say that we should not do that. I thought we left Europe.
Okay. Have you ever heard of George Washington? Woo-hoo. He said that in a farewell address, Sam.
Well, he certainly had a humble foreign policy, just like Ron Paul and many others have had, and I completely support the foreign policy viewpoints of George Washington, which is this: we can be kind to people around the world, but we don't need to entwine or intertwine our destinies with them. We don't need to jump to their aid at every turn. We need to avoid foreign conflicts and avoid foreign interaction like the plague. And we should stand on the world stage as the leader for peace. And every time we engage in funding and fueling either and or both sides of a war, we end up losing. We become a warlike people, Chris.
And that's part of the strategy. Joel Skousen talks a lot about that in his World Affairs Brief, Sam. He thinks that part of the globalist strategy is to make us out to be the bully of the world. How well are we doing at that job? I would say very well. You know,
yeah,
we don't generally read international media, but international media, I mean, if you went over to foreign countries and read about the United States, it wouldn't be as rose-colored as our media portrays us. We are becoming the pariah of the world, in other words. And that's part of the globalist strategy for World War III. Anyway, so George Washington said that we should avoid foreign entanglements, and we're doing a lousy job at that. Do you know that there's a lot of saber rattling in an area called the Crimea and the Donbass region of eastern Ukraine? Have you read about that, Sam?
No, it's not in the news really at all.
No, not in the United States. It probably will be. The media will probably be forced to talk about that, but it's definitely in European papers. Apparently, the powers that be don't want us to know much about it. But I'll just give you kind of a brief overview of what's happened over the last 2 weeks in that region. So you know the Black Sea. The Black Sea is part of the natural border of the Ukraine and Russia. And there are certain areas in the Ukraine, Sam, that have been, over the last 60 years, been inhabited by Russian people intentionally during the old USSR days. Nikita Khrushchev intentionally transplanted a lot of Russian nationals in what was their, at that time, their Soviet satellite nations. So that presents a bit of a conflict in those nations like the Ukraine. You've got the Donbass region where you've got a lot of people who are actually more loyal to Russia than they are to the Ukraine. You've got the Crimea. You've heard a lot about some of the conflicts going on in Crimea. And the U.S., obviously, just like any other conflict around the world, we want to stick our nose where it doesn't belong. And Putin is pushing back. He said last week, in response to us retreating two of our naval warships from the Black Sea region, he says, stay away for your own good. And there are troops amassing on the Russian-Ukrainian border. There are tanks amassing. There are threats being passed back and forth from the Ukraine to Russia and vice versa. And one of our top foreign ministers has said that we will not accept Russia's destabilizing behavior. And out of the other side of his mouth, Sam, he said, we have no desire to be in an escalating war with Russia. So which one of those are true? Are we going to try to de-escalate, or were we going to maintain a very hard military stance and not accept Russia's destabilizing behavior? You can't have both. You either let Europe take care of Europe's problems, or you intervene. You can't do both. Have you studied anything about what's going on over there, Ms. Sam?
I have, and the question is, why is Biden pushing for the Ukraine to attack Russia? Is Biden enabling the Ukraine? And so there's money, there's support, there's international stage encouragement, there's funding of military hardware. Biden wants war in the Ukraine. Why? Okay, that's
big
the question.
Money. We talked about it.
Hang
last
tight.
Week.
We'll talk about it in seconds. Chris Carlson with me. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
President Biden's climate summit featured more than 40 heads of state and other world and business leaders on Thursday.
The health of communities throughout the world depends on it. The well-being of our workers depends on it. The strength of our economies depends on it. The countries that take decisive action now to create the industries of the future will be the ones that reap the economic benefits of the clean energy boom that's coming.
The goal of the summit is to spur more ambitious emissions reductions through non-binding commitments. The House of Representatives voted 216 to 208 on Thursday to pass a bill that would grant statehood to Washington, D.C. It's the second year in a row that Democrats-controlled House had voted to recognize D.C. as the 51st state. The bill now heads to the Senate, where it faces minimal chance of reaching the 60 votes necessary to send a law. We are USA Radio News.
Police officer down. It's shocking. The number of cops killed in the line of duty jumped almost 100% last year. Defunding police, stripping them of legal protections, woke culture. It's a dangerous time. But Greg Kelly is fighting back. All this week, Greg's on Newsmax TV with his special series, Cops Under Fire. Greg Kelly exposes the real threat to the police and you. Newsmax TV is standing up for our brave men and women. Watch Cops Under Fire on Greg Kelly tonight. Newsmax is on all major cable systems. If you don't get it, call your cable company. Get Newsmax TV free on most smart TVs, Roku, Pluto, Zumo, and YouTube Live. Millions have already downloaded the free Newsmax TV app on their smartphones. Already the fourth highest rated cable news channel in America. Newsmax is real news for real people.
Hate crimes against Asians has new legislation. Tim Berg from the Phoenix USA Radio News Bureau reports.
A bill confronting hate crimes against Asian Americans is moving to the House after passage in the Senate.
On this vote, the yeas are 94, the nays are 1. The 60-vote threshold having been achieved, the bill as amended is passed.
The White House strongly supports the bill. Hate crimes against Asian Americans have risen sharply since the coronavirus came out of China. Hate crimes against Asian Americans taking place in such cities as Seattle, Washington, Philadelphia, and New York, which are all run by Democrats.
The number of Americans filing new claims for unemployment benefits fell to a 13-month low last week, suggesting layoffs were subsiding. Initial claims for state unemployment benefits decreased 39,000 to a seasonally adjusted 547,000 for the week ending April 17th. This is USA Radio News.
Now you...
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman, Chris Carlson, talking about why have we become a warlike people, huh? Why do we just want to engage? We become the world's bully. No doubt about it. It's a sad tale, but true. George Washington's foreign policy was a humble one. Why are we involved in all these foreign entanglements? Ron Paul, Sam Bushman, many others advocating for peace, saying, wait, why are we funding and fueling war everywhere, both sides? And Chris Carlson, I think, hit on it partly. It's money. But I think there's more to it than money. I think a lot of times it has to do with control of nations. I think a lot of times. But you know what? Biden offers Ukraine unwavering support. That's the problem. Why are we going at odds with Russia? Why are we there in their backyard? Yeah. Well, they say it's after Vladimir Putin, you know, unleashed this and did this and he did that and he's the bad guy. But you know what? That's the boogeyman principle. The problem is when we're involved, the blowback, this is something documented by the CIA and articulated by Ron Paul and many others, the blowback is going to be tremendous. And so there's just no good that can come from this, Chris.
Okay, you're right. You're absolutely right. George Washington had it right. Now, I'm going to read a quote from Henry Kissinger. This is something he said in a recent CFR meeting, and I think this will shed quite a bit of light because it's more than just money. He said, if you imagine that the world commits itself to an endless competition based on the dominance of whomever is superior at the moment, then a breakdown of the order is inevitable. And the consequence of a breakdown would be catastrophic. So what he's basically saying in that quote, Sam, and a lot of times these elitists, they will speak in cryptic terms. So people read it and say, oh, I don't know what the heck he just said. I'll just leave it up to the professionals. What he's basically saying is the current order where America is the dominant force for moral rectitude in the world has got to end. We cannot have that. And I think a lot of times the internationalists, the globalists, want to create scenarios of war to press their citizens into this mindset that we have to find a way to end this in this national order that creates wars and threats of wars so that we can have world peace. And the only way to world peace, according to the elitists, is to create a world government. So I think all of these steps that create conflict and destabilization throughout the world, which America is primarily responsible, you have to admit today, are just small steps towards that inevitability of them merging us into a new world order.
Well, and the sad part is we become a warlike people. And a lot of times, political leaders and the media, all, you know, government politicians and you know, the media, they all kind of make you believe in all kinds of falsehoods. And so then we believe that we have to be at war. We have no choice. Let me spin a couple of the lies they tell. Number one, you know what? If we don't stop war internationally over there, then it will be here. And we've got to stop it there so it doesn't come here. And so therefore, you know, I mean, I'm sorry that we're in that war, but it's necessary. The other one is, hey, the great Satan in some religion, you know, is waging war and just destroying everybody. Or another one is the government is just so abusive to their citizens that we must do something as if we have some sovereign interceding power or authority, et cetera, et cetera. And the problem is that 9 times out of 10, all those arguments are completely false, Chris.
Exactly, because when you poke the bear will poke back, but he's got bigger pokers than we do. You know, the bear is representative of Russia. I believe, Sam, if we would mind our own business as the most powerful, still the most powerful nation in the world, and that may change in the near future, that there would be greater peace and harmony and love, one nation towards another, than there currently is. Because a lot of people, including China, including Russia, as corrupt as their governments are, admittedly, still, I believe that if we minded our own business, those countries would follow suit, and we would have a greater degree of world peace, and the threat of war would be diminished. But I believe that this was during the Bush 2 administration, where he kept saying, well, we've got to fight the terrorists over there, or else, you know, we'll have to fight him here, which is a completely and totally false doctrine. In fact, it makes those people who have ties to those countries where we engage them in war that are living in America more apt to commit acts of terrorism here in America. So that the idea that we have to fight them over there before they come over here is completely and totally false and satanic in nature. I believe that if we just maintain the security of our own nation, if we keep our warships here, instead of having them in the Black Sea, and Russia is saying, hey, no, they shut down the Strait of Kursk. I don't know if you've read anything about that. It's in the Black Sea. It's right there by that hotspot that we talked about. So no warships are allowed to go in and out of that strait. And America is challenging that blockade. And the more we challenge it, I think the greater the friction will result. But you talked about, Sam, that we've become a warlike people. That's interesting that you bring that topic up. There was an article written in a magazine put out by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints called The False Gods We Worship. Are you familiar with that article, Sam? That was written in 1976.
I am, and that's where that phrase comes from.
Do you mind if I read that quote for you?
By all means, go right ahead,
sir. Let me give you a little
background. So hold on, give us the title of the article again.
Okay, and I'm glad to see we're on the same wavelength. It's called The False Gods We Worship. It was written in June of 1976 by the prophet and president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And I've got lots of quotes. Let me read this quote. He said, "We are a warlike people, easily distracted from our assignment of preparing for the coming of the Lord. When enemies rise up, we commit vast resources to the fabrication of gods of stone and steel, ships, planes, missiles, fortifications, and depend on them for protection and deliverance. When threatened, we become anti-enemy instead of pro-kingdom of God. We train a man in the art of war and call him a patriot. Thus, in the manner of Satan's counterfeit of true patriotism, perverting the Savior's teachings. And there's a lot more to that. But isn't that true? We've forgotten who our greatest protection in time of war should be. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ, Sam. And if we do not tap into that power by turning our hearts and our minds towards Him, instead of turning our hopes and our trust in our ships and in our planes and in our missiles, who, you know, a lot of people think, including Christians, I would say especially Christians, Sam, nowadays.
Yes, and I think that it starts with a turning away from God. In other words, you know what? Sometimes war is necessary because people are evil. However, the question is, why are we a warlike people? Are we a warlike people because we are forced to go to war by wicked people who want to destroy our lands, our liberties, who want to destroy our wives and our families and our children, and we're merely in defensive mode to protect our way of life and to protect our loved ones that are innocent and may not be able to protect themselves? Is that our goal? Is our goal to protect our families and our liberty? Or do we have a different agenda? And the one of the great ways you can know this for yourself, whether it be internally and or around the world, are you defensive to protect those things? Or are you offensive for another agenda, for another purpose? And I think it's really interesting when you study governments and or when you study war, this offensive-defensive discussion becomes very critical to understand. If you're defensive, if you're preparing to say, look, I'm not going to war, but I'm going to make sure that I'm ready in case somebody wants to attack me, that's one thing. And that's justifiable, I think, before God Almighty. However, when you go on the offensive, what is your agenda? What is our agenda to back the Ukrainian leader? I mean, Biden literally calls this guy, pledges unwavering support. What does that do to our relationship with Russia? Why are we over there? It's thousands of miles away. Both nations are, quote, sovereign, if you will. And I don't see what the agenda is. Are we trying to advocate for liberty, we claim? Russia's just evil and Russia's going to crush the Ukrainians. And some of these things have been going on for literally decades or longer. And there's no way for us to really resolve those except for to provide peaceful leadership. We're not doing that. But I bring this up because this offensive-defensive discussion is really critical to denote or to diagnose the intent. What is the intent with our involvement and or our actions or decisions? And that's the key point, I think, Chris. Oh, we might have lost Chris. All right, we'll work on getting Chris back. In the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just saying that's kind of the critical point here. All right? Are we off target, ladies and gentlemen? We have a great earth. We have wonderful people on it. We have good people. I don't think most people want conflict, but I think leaders want conflict. You got to ask the question, why? This is critical to understand, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm telling you right now, I'm fearful that we're going to have war around the world. I figure we're going to have an internal war, a second civil war. I pray we don't. But I'll tell you the real cause. When people turn away from God and trust in the arm of flesh, it gets rowdy fast. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Chris Carlson back with us. We're talking about war. We've become a warlike people, sadly so. We're talking about an incredible article, The False Gods We Worship, written back in the 70s by Spencer W. Kimball. Go to churchofjesuschrist.org and look it up. The False Gods We Worship, Spencer W. Kimball. And he talks at first about the earth, and he loves the earth. And he tells about when he was a little kid and how peaceful the earth is and how wonderful and great America is and how grateful he is for the good people and everything else. And he compares the thunderstorms of his youth to the thunderstorms that we face because of wicked men and women. All right. He says we're in crucially momentous days. I'm reminded of the general principle that where much is given, much is expected, he says. Luke 12, the Lord gave us a choice world and expects us to have obedience to his commandments to the commandments of God in return. But you know what? I'm appalled and frightened when I look at what God has given us, what he expects from us, and our lack of ability to deliver his people. Iniquity seems to abound. The destroyer seems to be taking full advantage of the time remaining to him in this, the great day of his power. It seems like evil is about to engulf us like a great wave, and we feel that truly we are living in conditions similar to the days of Noah before the flood, he articulates. I have traveled much in my various assignments over the years, and when I pass through the lovely countryside or fly over the vast and beautiful expanses of our globe, I compare this beauty with many of the dark and miserable practices of men. And I have the feeling that the good earth can hardly bear our evil presence upon it. Anyway, he goes on and talks about Enoch. Woe, woe is me, the mother of men. I am pained, I am wearied because of the wickedness by my children. When shall I rest? And he goes on and he says, Why should a cry be so necessary among the people so blessed is amazing to me. He goes on, Chris.
Do you want me to fill in?
Absolutely. I say Chris for you to speak, my brother.
Yes, sir.
Otherwise, I'd say Steve. If I want Steve to talk, I'd say Steve.
Well, yeah. So he talks about, and this, mind you, that this is in 1976. How many years ago was that, Sam? That was like 45 years ago. And have things gotten better or worse since then? He talks about pollution. He says pollution of mind, body, and our surrounding against vulgarity, stealing, lying, pride, and blasphemy, against fornication, adultery, homosexuality, and all their abuses of the sacred power to create. That should be extremely emphasized, the abuses of the sacred power to procreate. How many ways do we abuse that sacred procreative power today, Sam? And we're not talking about heathens. We're talking about the Christians in this country. And even if you don't engage in those practices, how tolerant are you of those practices? Just to be politically correct, just to appease our enemies, just to make it look as if, you know, we're trying to go along to get along. Heavenly Father doesn't like that.
He would rather that we make a moral stand and say, this is not right. I will not tolerate this. I will not allow my government to pass laws to protect these hideous practices that put us under condemnation of the Lord. And we think we're that shining city on the hill that Ronald Reagan talked about 30 years ago. We are no longer that great example to the rest of the world. And we have lost our power as a result. We have turned our backs on the Lord. And if we go about thinking that we're going to be the savior of this nation or the savior of that nation because of our superior moral or military strength, we can no longer claim that. I don't even think that there are a lot of people, including Joel Skousen, who thinks that our military would not match up well with either China or Russia. And it doesn't matter. We could, like I said, we could be 1,000 times more powerful militarily than those other countries, Sam. But if we're not in tune with God and reconciled to his will, it doesn't matter. Just like I say in the intro, without God, we can never win. With him, we will always win. So here's another point.
It's important to take guidance from the scriptures and the biblical reality. I mean, God told us the first commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And oftentimes we put cars or we put wealth, our gold. Hey, I need to manage my investments or my assets. Hey, I've got fancy things that I got to care for. We put those things before God, you know, and what we do is we create these false gods that we kind of worship. And we turn away. And so we need to realize we're all God's children. Are these other pursuits good enough for a son of
sure,
God?
Absolutely.
Okay, the power of a vehicle or the power of money investment or the power of Bitcoin or whatever you want to compare is nothing compared to God's almighty power. And we need to understand that God loves us and he wants us to be happy and safe and secure, but it'll only happen. Now, be careful. We don't want to settle for a pitiful God. Okay? We don't want to have a shiny chrome God. We don't want to have a, okay? We need to really kind of think about this. We need to not separate ourselves from all obligations. We need to simply have time for the things of God, Chris.
Exactly. And these things aren't bad. I mean, Heavenly Father, I believe Sam wants us to be wealthy, wants us to enjoy the blessings of the earth that he has created for us. He just doesn't want us to put them before we put him, because the source of all good, of course, is God. And there's a lot more of these wonderful things in the world to come, but we need to prove our loyalty to the source of all the blessings that we receive on this earth, and that is God. Can we talk a little bit about democracy? We touched on this last week, Sam. You know, if we had a king and our king went to war, and that was an unjust war, the blood of those innocents that he would destroy as a result of that unjust warfare would be upon the head of the king. But we don't have a king. We have a democratic republic. And we talked a little bit about this last week. And I sent you an article called The Getaway Driver. Did you get that? Did you read that?
Yeah, I responded to you. You just got to check your email, my friend. I wrote you about a 5-paragraph response to that, but it requires that you read email. So secondarily, though, this anecdote I think is really critical that Spencer Kimball gives here. He talks about they went out into the jungle, and they wanted to catch monkeys. And they couldn't catch the monkeys for the lives of themselves, but they finally came upon an ingenious idea. They built a box. And they put a hole in the top of the box just big enough for the monkey's hand to get inside of. And then they put nuts in the box. And so when the monkeys would reach in to grab the nuts, then their hands were too big because they got the nut in their hand, right? And they couldn't pull their hands back out. So then when the men would converge on the monkeys to catch the monkeys would thrash all about and scream. But they wouldn't let go of the nut and slip their hand out to get away. That would be so easy, but they didn't. And they caught the monkeys with ease. So it is with we the people. So it often seems to be with people having such a, quote, firm grasp on things of the world that no amount of urging, no degree of emergency could persuade them to let go in favor of that which is more important, godly, if you will. We got to not spend our time in riotous living of the worldly kingdom, if you will. We need to spend our time in more important pursuits. And this is a critical kind of point that he makes, is why I wanted to get to that little anecdote, Chris.
That is a wonderful anecdote, and we're so much like that, Sam. We will allow our own our very eternal souls to perish in exchange for our worship of idol gods. And we need to get over that. You know, I see candidates being treated as if they're the saviors of our country. Donald Trump comes to mind. It bothered me so much, Sam. Did it bother you when people were putting so much trust in an individual, a human being, to save this country? And it turned out that he didn't do hardly anything to reverse the course of socialism in this country. He actually increased the amount of debt. He increased the size of government. He never did finish the wall. He didn't withdraw troops from the Middle East. Anyway, I don't mean to go on ad nauseum about that individual because they're all the same. You know, I call them Republicrats or Demopublicans because the parties are no different. And we've got to get off this idolatry. And it is idolatry. I used to read the scriptures, Sam, especially the Old Testament, and I used to wonder why we didn't have idols of gold and idols of silver and idols of stone. And I woke up one day and I said, wait a minute. We have athletes that we worship. We have celebrities that we worship. And now we even have politicians. You know, they don't even, well, some of them are fairly talented, but, you know, some of them are not even worthy of worldly accolades, let alone our worship. Anyway, Sam, I've gone on ad nauseum. Can I finish my point about the fact that the Lord gave us a democratic republic? Or do you want to make the final thought?
He gave us a constitutional republic, and it has democratic principles in it, no doubt, but you cannot leave out constitutional republic because there's a lot of democratic republics that don't have the constitutional principles that create checks and balances and divisions of power and protections. So we have a constitutional democratic republic, I agree. But let's think about this, and then we'll have your point. What are we to fear when the Lord is with us, ladies and gentlemen? That's a critical understanding point. Why have we become a warlike people? Why do we train a man in the art of war and call him a patriot? Okay? We need to turn to God Almighty, Chris.
Exactly. We need to fight for the kingdom of God. And traditionally, our country has been on the side of God. If you look at our country in this totality over the last 230 years, we will see a pattern of righteousness and just wars. But I would submit to you, Sam, the last 50 years, we have not seen such a pattern. We have seen a departure from that pattern. And we need to acknowledge, to be a patriot, we need to embrace patriotic principles. We don't need to continue to embrace a slippery slope scenario where our country is sliding towards Gomorrah. We need to embrace the principles, not the symbol of that principle, which is our country. And we need to not lose hope in our country because I believe, just as Ezra Taft Nixon said, this nation shall endure. And I believe it will. It will hang by the Constitution will hang by a thread, but I believe before that thread breaks, the elders of Israel will come forth and preserve it. So we don't need to lose hope in our country. We just need to reestablish the principles that made this country great. So let me say something about a democratic republic, and this will be really brief because we're almost out of time. In a democratic republic where the people have the power through their elected leaders, both the leaders and the people who elect them are then held accountable for the decisions of the nation. So when we go to war and unjust war scenarios, the blood of those innocents that we inevitably kill, just like we did in Afghanistan and Iraq, will not only be on the heads of our leaders, they will be on our own heads because we upheld those leaders every election cycle.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. Why have we become a warlike people? Why do we train a man in the art of war and call him a patriot? How do we follow God? How do we trust in God? The first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Let's pay attention, people. If you want to read that article, churchofjesuschrist.org, it was written in the 70s, and it relates to some scriptures that are LDS or Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints scriptures. But this reading is very critical to all of us. It was given literally 25 years before 2K. Now it's literally 50 plus years old, this article. Or about 50 years old. And I'm saying to you, hey, how do we become a peaceful people? The answer is God promised us in the Bible he will heal our land and protect us. Do we trust him? Well, let's repent and start to act like it. Chris, thank you. God save the Republic.